Can you tell me a little bit about what's the background of House Bill 1315 and what would this end up doing?
Well, the background is last legislative session, there was a law put into place, and I can't remember the number of it right now, but it was at first geared toward Gary, who were in terrible financial distress. Their public school system was $145 million. I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but enormous amount of debt in their school district. And to the surprise of Muncie, who were struggling with some problems in their local community around their superintendent and their board and the use of a $10 million bond, and they had their own debt. I think it was Representative Tim Brown, I'm quite certain, who's a chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, put Muncie in the bill. And it was a shock to their legislators, I believe. It was a shock to their whole community. But anyway, that passed, and they all had this emergency manager position kind of put in to try to help them take control and fix their finances. This session, they are at it again through 1315, and poor Muncie was surprised yet again when Representative Brown gave an amendment to give complete control of their school district over to Ball State.
Just in terms of background, how does a school corporation end up getting into $140 plus million dollars worth of debt? Is that an exception, or is that something that would be relatively commonplace for school districts in the state?
Well, I can only say, as someone who's been paying attention to public education policy, that we've had a huge problem in the economic health of our city areas. And I am originally from Michigan, so my concern is affected by the lens that I'm looking at the situation, which is, in Michigan, our governor gave emergency manager status over entire cities and communities, not just their school districts, and it was to the detriment of their people. When you put somebody in charge of financing or in charge of the finances, and in Michigan's case, it was just a business person, then there's a cost to how you cut costs, and especially when you don't have public accountability and you have complete control. And in Flint, for example, children ended up drinking poison. So I think it's a real concern when you lose democratic control and democratic process. My understanding from my friends in Muncie, and I don't have any friends in Gary, but my understanding in Muncie is that they were pretty satisfied, or at least a lot of people that I spoke with were satisfied with the person who was the emergency manager, and there was a timeline with which the community was going to be able to get control. And I thought they also had, like, their elected board members. I don't know exactly how they played in there. But this bill, 1315, takes away Muncie's elected board, school board, and I think just completely diminishes the role of the board in Gary, where they only have meetings twice a year. So I don't think they have any control.
And have we, or have you heard anything from Ball State about this? I would imagine that they're not looking to displace or take over that school district.
They are. The people who were in that meeting, from what we know, from what's been publicly stated, is the president of Ball State University, and I guess the Representative Brown of the Ways and Means Committee, and maybe some others from the Ways and Means Committee. I actually don't know who in the legislature was in conversation with the president. And now Ball State's president has been apologizing for the lack of community involvement at that initial conversation, for the, their representative, Sue Arrington, for example, didn't know anything about it. I gave a talk in Muncie last Saturday for the Indiana Coalition for Public Education, and I talked about public policy in general, educational policy, that is, in Indiana, and basically talked about this. There are effects that happen when you decide to open up this marketplace of schools in the name of school choice, and you start diverting funding and resources from public schools to charter schools and voucher schools, and some money over to homeschooling. And as we divert all this funding, these public school systems are getting hurt. The schools that were already hurt by, you know, a downturn in the economy, loss of manufacturing as in Detroit or Gary, then you don't have that tax base. You don't have the, when you have the money following the child, the money goes right on out with the child. And if you look at the situation in Muncie, for example, I was looking at their numbers since we started this really aggressive educational policy of school choice in 2011. The demographic of the kids, of the students in their school district, has become increasingly people of color. And they have kids living in their school district who are transferring to other public school districts surrounding Muncie, or I think voucher schools and such. And it looks to me, or it would appear, and somebody would have to do a study on it, it looks to me like our state policy and our state is funding white flight.
And Kathy, can you tell me, why would MCCSC think about getting involved in something that affects Muncie Community School Districts and Gary Community School Districts?
Well, the Indiana School Boards Association has put an alert out and a call to action to all school districts to speak up against this bill, because this takes away the community's democratic process and representation by taking away their elected school board. And as I said in my letter, the public schools, what makes public schools public, is the accountability to the public through a democratically elected school board. These are members of your community, within your community, that you are in intimate relation with by seeing them in the grocery store and seeing them in the street. I mean, this is all people who are accountable to the voters. And once you take away that control, you also take away the transparency, and people who are appointed are accountable to those they are appointed by. And so it's a concern. I think it should be a concern for all of us that once you start losing democracy and the state decides to take that away, how is that going to come back? I mean, what Muncie's asking for is a timeline. They want to know that they will actually regain their local control. And so the school board association and we as school board members are very concerned about retaining that local control. And it's important that you speak out against it, because someone else's school district could be next.
Kathy, any additional comments or anything you think that our listeners in South Central Indiana should know, either about House Bill 1315 or about this letter that was written?
This bill might be being heard by this House right now as you and I speak. I don't know when it's going to hit the House, the full House floor. But I would encourage anybody in South Central Indiana to speak up about this. This is like almost any of our situations, like when they started vouchers or started really pushing charter schools. Most people were not paying attention because they thought, well, that's just an Indianapolis problem or, you know, an inner city problem. It's not a problem for me. But as we see this funding increasingly getting spread thin between these different systems of education, and public schools having a harder and harder time trying to make ends meet in areas surrounding us and across the state, then people are starting to recognize that actually, even if I don't have a school that I can take a voucher to, the voucher program taking something like, I don't know, I think $146 million or so away from public schools is going to affect the whole, and therefore will affect us.